Let us pray. Gracious God, open now the eyes of our hearts and our minds that we may see your glory in the scriptures. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. This could be found on page 102 in your New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, here's what the Spirit says to the church. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but is someone like him?" He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who is to say, was born blind? How then does he not see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then he reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but he was disciples of Moses. We know that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened your eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and you were trying to teach us, and they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He is Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we're not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, We see, your sin remains. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The city of Jerusalem was alive with excitement. This was the Feast of Booths, a time of religious worship and joyous feasting, sort of a week-long Thanksgiving day. Even Jonas, the blind beggar who sat by the temple gate, was affected. He'd never seen these sights, but people had described them to him, and so his sensitive hearing and a good imagination helped him to picture what was going on around. Besides, this was a good time for begging. People gave alms joyfully, and Jonas had done well. And today was the Sabbath day, the great day of the feast. And Jonas expected to harvest a bonus crop of shekels. He heard the footsteps of a group of men. He was ready to call out asking for alms when a rough Galilean voice asked, Rabbi, whose sin caused him to be born blind, his own or his parents? Oh, Jonas had heard that question before and it always hurt. Wasn't it bad enough to be blind without having people suggest that it might be his own fault? He was ready to protest when another man spoke. His accent was also Galilean, but his voice had a wonderful tenderness. His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power may be seen in him. Now, there was a new idea. His blindness could glorify God? How could that be? And then Jonas heard approaching footsteps, and the squeak of a sandal and the rustle of a robe told him that someone was kneeling by him. He heard a man spit. And then he felt gentle fingers rubbing wet clay on his eyes. The man stood up. Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam, he said. And then he walked on. Jonas just sat there. What a strange incident. What should he do? I mean, the clay was drying quickly and he could brush it off easily. But that voice had a touch of authority. And he remembered the story of Naaman the Syrian, who almost refused to obey Elisha's instructions to bathe in the Jordan River, but who finally obeyed and was healed. So he emptied the coins from his beggar's bowl into his bag, took his stick, and tapped his way slowly through the crowded streets to the pool of Siloam. When he got to the pool, he knelt on the edge, put his hands in the water, and washed his face. And when he did, he saw, for the first time, he saw. Can you imagine how Jonas felt? He could see. He could see the water of the pool. He could see the cobblestones of the street. He could see the people around him. He drank it all in like a thirsty man who's found a pool of clear, cool water. And then he began to walk away. Now, at first, he shuffled and tapped his stick the way he always did. And then he realized, and with a laugh, he threw his stick away and stood up straight and walked homeward. He got to the street where he lived and strode up the hill to his home, greeting the people as he passed and receiving all kinds of blank looks. They didn't recognize him. He had a hard time convincing people that he was really Jonas, the blind beggar. He had to tell his story over and over and over again, but in a short time the news was spreading like wildfire. Jonas can see. What had happened was amazing. It had to be investigated. So Jonas was marched off to tell his story to the Pharisees. Well, he told them what had happened. In fact, he had to tell parts of it several times. Then the Pharisees turned their back on him and started talking to one another. They didn't intend him to hear what they were saying, but his sensitive hearing enabled him to catch much of what they said. This man isn't from God, or he wouldn't do something like this on the Sabbath. Well, then, where does he get the power to heal a blind man? I don't believe the man was really blind. But what about the witnesses? Finally, Jonas heard them send someone to call his parents. Now, can't you imagine how deeply this affected him? When he was brought to the temple, he was frightened. But as he listened to the rabbis argue with one another, heard them deny what he knew was true, he got a bit upset. You see, when Jesus had spoken to him, Jonas had barely believed him. He didn't really know Jesus. He'd only heard people talk about him. But after all that happened to him, Jonas was sure that Jesus was responsible for his healing and that Jesus had done it by the power of God. So when the Pharisees asked him, he told them that he was sure that Jesus was a prophet of God. When Jonas's parents arrived, he could see that they were scared. They were afraid that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, would excommunicate them. That would mean they couldn't go to the temple, they couldn't go to the synagogue, they would be ostracized, persecuted, cut off from everything Jewish, and they were afraid of that. So they identified their son. They said he had been blind from birth, but they insisted they had no idea how he had been cured. He's old enough, you can ask him. So the Pharisees came back to Jonas. Before God, tell us the truth. We know that this man is not a respectable Jew. I don't know about that. I only know that I was blind, and now I can see. Well, what do you say to an answer like that? The Pharisees stalled. Well, what did he do to you? How did he cure you? Look, I've told you the story. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? Oh, that really upset the Pharisees. You are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know Moses' credentials, but we don't know anything about this Jesus. No, isn't that strange? You don't know anything about this man, but he cured my blindness. Now, if God only listens to those who worship and obey God, how could this Jesus heal me unless he was a servant of God? That did it. The Pharisees heaped curses and imprecations upon the head of poor Jonas and ended up by excommunicating him. And as Jonas walked the streets of Jerusalem, he was pretty depressed. It had been bad enough being a blind beggar. Being excommunicated would be worse. How could something so wonderful have turned out so badly? Again, excuse me, a Galilean voice that Jonas would never forget cut through his misery. Jonas turned and was face to face with Jesus. Jonas, are you willing to trust in the servant of God? Tell me who he is, sir, so I can trust him. It is I. I trust you, Lord. And Jonas knelt humbly before Jesus. Then Jesus made a strange and a wonderful statement. He said, I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind. Now, that saying explains the story, and the story illustrates the saying. Jonas was certainly blind, wasn't he? He was not only physically blind, but he had absolutely nothing to offer Jesus. The only thing Jonas had was a need. But Jesus came into this world to meet the needs of people. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came that people might have abundant life. Jesus came to Jonas with an offer of help, which was also a demand for faith. And Jonas trusted Jesus. His faith was small, his faith was weak, but his faith was real. He did what Jesus told him to do. That small faith led to his healing, and his faith grew until it became a clear statement of his willingness to worship and follow Jesus, the Christ of God. The one who had been blind had his eyes opened so that he could see the glory of God. On the other hand, the Pharisees could certainly see. They not only had physical sight, but they were sure that they had religious and spiritual insight as well. They were the religious and theological leaders of the Jewish people, students of the Bible, faithful observers of all the Jewish laws. They had so much that they saw no need for anything more. So when God sent Jesus into the world, they rejected him. He didn't fit into their system. He didn't agree with their theological doctrines. He didn't accept their authority. And perhaps worst of all, he kept on doing things that broke down the walls between respectable Jews and everybody else, walls that they had worked hard and long to erect. So they rejected him and finally crucified him. It's been said there is no one who is so blind as the one who will not see. Well, that was their problem. Confronted by the light of the world, they chose darkness rather than light. You know, Jesus has that divisive effect. When people learn about Jesus, they're either drawn to him or repelled by him. See, because Jesus comes as the incarnation of God's love, proclaiming and displaying the unconditional love of God and offering the love of God to all who will freely accept it, those who recognize their need for God's love are drawn to Jesus. But those who are sure that they can meet God on their own terms, reject a love that is freely offered to all. In fact, they're offended by the idea of a love that is freely given. It hurts their pride to think they might be no better than the average sinner. And so those who have nothing become God's friends and lovers, and those who think they have everything reject the most important thing in life. It makes us wonder, who is really blind? It makes us ask ourselves, do I really accept God's love? Do I accept it as something that I cannot and need not earn? Or do I trust in my own goodness, my own righteousness, my own respectability? The answer to that question tells us whether we see or whether we are blind. And the answer to that question is vital for this life and for the life to come. To God who gives light in the darkness, be praise and honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.